Catholic Radio in South Carolina. This is Michael Brennan with Catholic Radio in South Carolina. On the line is Cormac O'Duffy. He has a very funny accent, but I think he also has something fun to tell the listeners in the Diocese of Charleston. Cormac, tell listeners what's coming.
All right. Well, I'm delighted to be on your radio program, Michael. My background to what I'm talking about is that I came from Ireland 10 years ago, having spent a lot of time actually going around the country because I used to tour guide while I was a student. Got to know Ireland really well and loved a lot of the heroes of Ireland. But when I came to South Carolina, I read up on the history here because I love history, and I started hearing about this Bishop John England. And it wasn't so much his being a bishop here that interested me, but his relationship with famous Irish people, particularly a man called Daniel O'Connell. Daniel O'Connell was the person who won the vote for the Irish Catholics, and his greatest supporter amongst the clergy was John England. When I read this, I said, goodness, I've never heard of this before. I've lived in Ireland for years and been a student at UCD and at the University of Limerick. So I rang a friend of mine who's an emeritus professor of history in Cork, and I said, tell me about John England. What do you know about John England? He never heard of John England. I said, nobody seems to know this man. But the more I researched him, I found he was quite a force in Irish life long before he came to the States and was similarly such a great force here in the foundation of the church in South Carolina.
You're going to be doing something soon to commemorate this, correct?
That's right. Well, what I did when I started finding out about Father John and his life in Ireland, his life in Bandon, his life in Cork, his seminary in Carlow, and I contacted some of these people because I knew some of them from my time in Ireland, I thought I really should go to see the bishop here and tell him I'd like to bring a group over to Ireland to learn this history because it's not a known history. And when I went to see him, he was very interested in the whole thing. And I think even by that stage, we suggested, because I was meeting with some people to talk about this, that we might have a memorial to his life in Cork. And when the bishop heard about it, he said he would like one at the cathedral too. The people who suggested the wording for the memorial that we're having made are the Sisters of Charity of Our Lady of Mercy. And they let me see John England's ordination prayer. That's going to be on the plaque that goes in both cathedrals, here and in Cork. And there's a nice little touch to it also, that I'm a musician, I'm a composer by work, and I work as a church musician. I've composed a setting of this prayer of John England, his ordination prayer he wrote in his seminary before he went and got ordained in Cork Cathedral. And we have a priest from the diocese here, it's Father Wilson, I hope he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, who's going to sing it for us in Ireland. And also, I think one of the Irish tenors, one of the famous Irish tenors, is willing to sing it in Cork when we put in the memorial.
And you had some help here in the United States from our own Monsignor Lofton. Monsignor, why don't you tell the listeners how you got involved with Cormac O'Duffy?
Well, Cormac met me after Mass 3-4 months ago, and he asked me, do I know anything about John England? I said, oh, yeah, I sure do. And, you know, we started talking, and then he told me about the project that he had. I was very enthusiastic about it. Actually, about 10 years ago when I was in Ireland, because I think, as you know, my mom was an Irish citizen. I'm also an American and an Irish citizen. So I was in Cork, and I went to the cathedral, and I had talked to one of the priests there in the cathedral, and they never heard of John England either. I was so shocked because I was wanting to see a plaque or something. They had no idea who he was. So when I heard about his project, I just immediately gleamed onto it because it's a terrible thing to lose your history. Like the Irish have lost the history of John England. Well, you know, there's a neat way that we can restore it. This man was an amazing figure in Ireland. His training in Ireland then allowed him, when he came to the United States, to take up the same issues that were in Ireland, specifically religious freedom, and deal with it here. In Ireland, he had his own newspaper. When he came to the United States, well, guess what? He did the U.S. Catholic Miscellany, our Miscellany Today, which was the first Catholic newspaper in the United States. And the things he argued for was religious freedom. And I think it's kind of ironic. I mean, here we are in the middle of our country in 2019, and we're still arguing about religious freedom in the United States. I mean, very fascinating how this individual, his life in Ireland, played out here when he came as our first bishop, dealing with the same issues that we have. By the way, he was the first bishop, I think, to ever speak in front of Congress, and he spoke for like 3 hours on the topic of religious freedom. Good Irishman, he has no problem talking, right? And then Adams the next day really berated him for what he said. So this stuff is very timely, even though it's very old.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England. And we should, just for the sake of anybody in South Carolina who just thinks Bishop England High School, let's go over some of the biographical information for Bishop England. Cormac?
Well, if you want to start with me, he was born in Cork. A family settled there. There was a time when you couldn't go to Catholic school, or just before his time, there was no Catholic schools. His grandfather was in jail because he tried to teach as a Catholic. That was illegal. But it had just become legal. Some of these things were starting to become legal when he was a young lad. But his parents sent him to the Protestant school in Cork. And I think that sending him there gave him quite an ecumenical attitude, which was very much what was in evidence here when he came to the States. But he started off, he was thinking of being a lawyer. He was training in Cork. And then he felt the call to the priesthood. And the British government had just at that time given permission for a seminary to be in Ireland, because prior to that, all seminarians had to go somewhere in Europe, to France, Belgium, or to Spain or Rome to get their training. But he was one of the first people to go to Carlow College. So when he came out of Carlow College, he was ordained in 1808 in the new cathedral in Cork. He was the first priest to be ordained there. The cathedral opened in August 1808. And in September 1808, he was ordained. So he had quite a big life as a very, very bright young priest. All sorts of things he got involved with. He was the president of the seminary there. He was chaplain to the Presentation Nuns, where his sister was the superior. And he did work in jail. He was for 9 years the chaplain of the prison in Cork. But it's not these things, but this is like his background. The thing that spurred him, that stirred him up, was when the issue came up, and this is what I found terribly interesting, of the potential emancipation for Catholics, giving the Catholics some vote in their own country. It's when the British government at the time were willing to grant a measure of emancipation on two conditions. One was that they would have a veto on who would become bishop, and secondly, they would salary the clergy. Now, if you think about it not for too long, you can see that means they would have effectively controlled the church. And something stirred inside of John that this was not going to happen. So the amazing thing he did for a priest in his time is, his father, Monsignor was saying here, he bought a newspaper. He bought the Cork Mercantile Chronicle, and he made it a means to communicate to the people of Cork what he saw, what needed to be done, and how they had to rise up in some sort of way peacefully, but to take the issues to the government, that they needed to be free and their church needed to be free, while they gained their emancipation as voters. So he ran this campaign for several years, all the way up to the time when he got the call to come to the States. And if I just finish this little episode, he was so outspoken. He was this radical young priest who was a fellow agitator with Daniel O'Connell, who I mentioned about. They say he was so strong-minded that the other bishops in Ireland, or the bishops in Ireland minus one, all felt they wouldn't want him to become a bishop there. They'd rather he went abroad. And so this very, very vocal and very strong-minded and very passionate priest became our bishop here. And Monsignor can tell me a lot more about his life here, but the work he did here was so foundational in making the diocese what it is today.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England. Monsignor, he was so eloquent, even for the Irish, that we kicked him out.
Well, and there's a lot of truth in that, because I think, in a sense, they were a little bit worried about him. He wanted to come to the United States because he wanted to be a missionary in the United States. But I think because, you know, he was a pretty strong-spoken individual, the Archbishop here in Baltimore, Carroll, he was concerned about, in the United States, the difficulty with trusteeism was played. Sometimes it's called the Charleston Schism. Doesn't mean Charleston per se, but it's kind of the name that's been attached to it. And the worry was that we would pick up some ideas that the Protestant had here, that there would be boards of trustees that would run all the parishes, which means then the church would, you know, have no control over things. So he eventually went to Rome and asked the Pope to create some additional diocese in Charleston, and that's one of the reasons why they did that. And I guess because of John England's work, especially finding the somewhat similar idea in England, where he fought against the British having veto power of Catholic bishops. So apparently he got on the radar, and so his name was selected. And so from Ireland in the 1820s, and I think in the summer of 1820, somewhere in that neighborhood, he wrote his, after he was ordained, he wrote his first letter, pastoral letter, to the newly established Diocese of Charleston.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England, and his career as bishop. Can you tell us some more about that?
Well, he came here late in 1820, and the first thing he did, because remember, the Diocese of Charleston included Georgia, North, and South Carolina. He came with his sister, and of course, she's the one who established the our Sisters of Charity of Our Lady of Mercy, and they still exist. And he came with, the history is a little fuzzy there. Supposedly he came with two priests, but there's only a record of one priest getting off the boat when he got off here. And of course, that priest was kind of like his secretary, if you will. So his first visit was out of the state, was going down to Savannah, Georgia. He did that in 1821, I think in January, February of 1821, if my memory serves me right. And then he continued visiting the entire diocese, particularly North Carolina, Wilmington, and all those places in North Carolina, Fayetteville. In Charleston at the time, we had one church, and that was Mary's on Hazel Street, which is still there. The history says there was about 200 Catholics in Charleston and surrounding area. One of the first priests here, formerly assigned, was a Father Ryan, another Irish guy. And he was here for several years on Hazel Street. He rented an old Methodist church, which the congregation eventually bought, somewhere around, I don't know, 1790s in that neighborhood. And then, of course, that eventually ended up being the Mary's that we still have. So he came here. There wasn't going to be a whole lot of support for him. You know, it was interesting to see where he got the money. Irish history tells that he had to borrow money from his family to pay for the voyage to come over to the United States. So he certainly didn't come from, he didn't come from any money background. And some stories say that he actually rode stagecoaches and worked on the stagecoach to get enough passage to visit his diocese. So he was pretty amazing, but he got right into the whole question of trusteeism in the United States. And of course, Mary's church was a trustee. And of course, that was one of the first big problems he had to encounter, because when he asked to take the church so that it would be kind of like his original cathedral, they said no. So he put them under interdict. In other words, he shut down the church. And of course, then he went a little bit further away from St. Mary's. He went to what's called Vauxhall Gardens, where our present cathedral is, and he bought that property there and began to build the first part of the cathedral. He built a seminary. He had libraries here. He was one with the Catholic Miscellany, started arguing, because the paper was national at that time, for religious freedom. Dealing with the big problem we had in the United States, where the Constitution promised freedom of religion to Catholics, but it didn't come about very well. For example, if you looked at the Constitution of the state of North Carolina, you would see in there that you had to be Protestant, and if you were not Protestant, you were not allowed to hold any office whatsoever in the state. So that was kind of the background of the South. South Carolina was the same way. They changed their constitution in 1790, which then allowed for the first congregation in Charleston to be recognized. So he immediately got into that entire issue. So kind of an amazing individual. And if you looked at the articles that he wrote in Cork and then some of the things he wrote here, the same argument for the importance and necessity of religious freedom. His Irish background certainly played very well when he came here to deal with the American equation.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England.
If I can just come in there to do with his ongoing interest in his home, in his other home country, because he regarded himself as American when he came here. That's his life. He's going to be an American citizen. But he kept in touch with things which were happening in Ireland, because he had a great love, obviously, of his home country. And when this person I mentioned, Daniel O'Connell, seemed to go back from the sort of the same idealism that they espouse together, that there should be no veto on bishops and no salarying of the churches, that the church should be free, when he saw that he was willing to give that up for personal gain, in here in Charleston, John England was really very, very upset. And what he did is he wrote in his own newspaper, in the Miscellany here, and then by letter to Daniel O'Connell in Ireland, and then publishing in Irish newspapers, saying, why are you doing this? You've lost, this is my fellow agitator, why are you willing to give up this freedom of the church for some gain? I mean, is this the same man I knew? And he wrote a series of about 10 letters to him about this, which are all in the Miscellany archives here. And the wonderful thing was that Daniel O'Connell did turn around, and when eventually in 1828 he was elected to Parliament, and the subsequent year when emancipation was given, limited though it might be, there was no veto and there was no salary of the church. It remained a free church in Ireland.
I'll tell you, that's a pretty hardy Irishman to be going around three states in a stagecoach and yet keep up with everything still going on in Cork.
Yes, yes.
It tells you a great deal how active he was and how engaged he was.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England. Cormac, you were going to add something.
He was no ordinary bishop. I mean, we love our bishops, but he was an extraordinary bishop. He had such a power of mind and a willingness to take on things, willing to sacrifice, and that he's quite, I regard him as an Irish hero. I think he's also really a hero for the church in America. But friends I'm talking to in Ireland, I talked to one the other day, who gave the opening speech for the new Bishop of Cork called Bishop Fintan Gavin, who was installed in June. The whole talk for the first time that I've heard is all about Bishop England. And when I spoke to the priest who gave the talk, he agreed, he's an Irish hero. He should be recognized. So what we're trying to do, both here and in Ireland, is to give him the recognition he's due.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England. Well, gentlemen, you've put together a lot of information about Bishop England. Where can people go now to find out more?
There's a couple of encyclopedias around. Actually, I have three articles on that. One of our other priests, Father Peter Clark, is a very excellent individual. And the two-volume work by Gil Day is still the premier work on Bishop John England. It's a two-volume series. It's fairly old. I'm just looking at them down here on the floor. I forget the dates when they were published. They're actually considered to be somewhat rare books now. Gil Day probably is the best that we have on the life of John England.
Unfortunately, it's quite long, but sometimes Monsignor and I have talked together that maybe we should put something together.
Yeah, to make it short and readable. Yeah. I mean, he was a real individual as well, and there's some controversy with him, unfortunately, over the whole question of slavery and whatnot. He certainly was no fan of slavery. He went down to Haiti and fought the slave trade, but he never really condemned slavery in the United States. So some of his critics, they put that out there. But I think we make a mistake if you just view him in terms of today and not the time and culture that he's in. And I don't think you get a proper perspective, especially when you deal with the slave things. Catholic Encyclopedia has a few things. The Encyclopedia of the American Catholic Church History has things on him. Gil Day has things on them as well. And our archives has, I don't know if they have anything available to be read, but, you know, they have a lot of his material, especially in the Miscellany, the newspaper he started here. You can read all of his arguments about religious freedom and the controversies of our times. So you get a real good understanding of his mind and his thought.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England. Now, Monsignor, just for the sake of our listeners, could you spell the author's name and give the title out one more time? I know it's a rare book, but still.
Sure. It's Peter Gil Day, Guilday, The Life and Times of John England, 1786 to 1842. And that's the dates of his birth and death.
Sure.
And it was done with America Press. What was the date on that, Cormac? Did you see the date in there?
I think it's 1917 or something like that.
Something like 1917.
27.
1927.
Okay.
It was when published.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Cormac O'Duffy, I call him that this time. He prefers Cormac O'Duffy. I'm pulling out the fact that he has a PhD from somewhere. You've got him on Senior. You've got a PhD. You guys could put together a short book, couldn't you?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah,
I
mean, maybe we'll have to work on that. Yeah. I'm going to retire next year.
So, I mean, it's all fascinating, and I think that we feel man needs to be remembered in his hometown. The one thing I haven't mentioned, I should mention, is that we are organizing a tour. And Monsignor's coming with us, as are one of the priests from the diocese and Bishop Boland from Savannah, and maybe even our bishop might come. I'm not sure. But this tour is in May next year. It's with Regina Tours, which are based out of New York. We are going to all the places we know associated with Bishop England, in Cork and in Bandon, where he was a priest, and we're going to his seminary. So there's going to be memorials in Bandon, one of the cathedral in Cork where he was ordained, and another, a palmetto tree, will be planted in his seminary. And that's where we're going to have one of the priests from the diocese who's going to sing his song, the song of, it's now a song, his ordination prayer. And so we're going around to see all the nice places in Ireland. We're even going to a whiskey factory. There we are. We're going up to Bushmills. But we're going to take people on a tour. We would really like to invite people from across the diocese to think of coming with us on this really special tour. I don't think it'd be very memorable because we are really creating some sort of a way for the knowledge of John England in Ireland. And we hope to get media coverage also for it.
But if people want to get involved with the tour, what do they do, Cormac?
They need to get in touch with Regina Tours, who are on 545 8th Avenue, Suite 720, New York. But the easiest thing is if you telephone 1-800-CATHOLIC, that will get you Regina Tours, 1-800-CATHOLIC. 200th anniversary of the Diocese of Charleston, pilgrimage tour to Ireland to celebrate the heritage of Bishop England. So we'd love to invite your listeners to be with us.
And let's get that number out one more time.
1-800-CATHOLIC. Which is 228-4654, 1-800-228-4654.
You're listening to Monsignor Lofton and Dr. Cormac O'Duffy. We're talking about the first bishop of South Carolina, Bishop John England.
I have one other little thing. With these memorials that we're making, we have got some very good contributions now towards making them. At the two memorials. We have also the Knights of Columbus here from this parish are willing to take the memorials, pay for the memorials to go to Ireland, or one. Any listener who would like to contribute to that, they can contact the diocese here if they'd like to make a contribution. They'll know they're leaving a bit of history for people to see the connections that exist between ourselves here and the diocese in Cork. I think that's very special.
I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's kind of history in the making to make sure Bishop England is not lost. And I've been doing a couple articles for the little newsletter that we have for our Knights of Columbus. And I'm going to the Holy Land this week. And they said, don't leave until you do part three. Mm-hmm. So I'm writing part three right now. I probably have a 7-part series on John England.
Monsignor, would you go ahead and send those to me as well? And we'll put them up on Facebook.
Okay, sure. I'd love to.
Monsignor, before we go, would you give listeners your blessing?
Sure, I'd love to do that. May Almighty God bless and protect all of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. We've been speaking with Cormac O'Duffy and Monsignor Lofton about Bishop John England, the history, and the tour coming up, and the commemoration of the 200th anniversary of the diocese. Gentlemen, thank you for taking time to tell our listeners a little bit more about their own history.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Catholic Radio in South Carolina.